Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We offer our respectful obeisances
unto you. Text 32. yatre gatinam tushyam ishitu paramam padam navarchino visagasya datta vedita mahati. O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations, promotion of the heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation in hell. Yet, your supreme abode is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Dharma. Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but humble obeisances. Purple. An inexperienced man generally does not know what to bring from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the jurisdiction of the created material world, and no one knows what benedictions to ask when praying to the Supreme Lord. People generally pray to be promoted to the heavenly planets because they have no information about the Loka. Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following verse: Deva Loka Pitru Loka Nirayats Chapiyakram Tishribhya Paramam Stananam Vaishnavam Vidusham Gatahi. There are different planetary systems known as Deva Loka, the planets of the demigods, Pitruloka, the planets of the Pitas, and Niraya, the hellish planets. When one transcends these various planetary systems and enters Vaikuntha Loka, he achieves the ultimate resort of all the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas have nothing to do with the other planetary systems. Om Agana Jnanasya Gyanjana Salakaya Chakshurumitam Jena Tasmai Shri Vrayana Shukyaitanya Manobhishtam Stavitam Jena Muntale Svayam Rupakaya Mahayam Tisa Prakantikam Mukam Paroti Vatsalam Hayate Vire Yatri Patamaham Bande Shri Gurum Kintarayam. So here we have prayers offered to the Lord by the demigods. Sri Deva Puchuhu. And so they're offering their respects to the Lord and describing his transcendental qualities. The first quality they describe is you give the results of sacrifice. Namaste yagya viraya viryaya vayase upate namaha. So Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, bhokaram yagya tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suriyam Sarvabhutanam Yatvaram Shanti Ritchati. Prabhupada says the peace formula.
Right.
What's the peace formula? To acknowledge, recognize that Krishna is the enjoyer of all of the sacrifices, of all of the activities, of all of the living entities. so that's recognized here by the demigods. Namaste Yajna-Virjaya. Vayase Udite Namaha. So they're acknowledging the Lord as the bestower of the results of sacrifice. He gives everything, but he also takes everything away. So we're given facility, we're given opportunity. But we're in borrowed clothes. Doesn't belong to us, actually. Therefore, there's a basis as to the Lord when he gives, right, which everybody likes. And there's also a basis as to the Lord when he takes it away, right, because ultimately the Lord is the upadrashta and the anumanta, the overseer and the mentor of everything that goes on in the creation. And there's this constant state of flux. And we're seeing that with the demigods. The demigods are on the top of the world. Well, on top of the universe. But then eventually it was taken away from them. Now they're trying to get it back. So they're acknowledging this is all taking place under the auspices of the Supreme Control, who can provide the results of the Yajna but also take away. When Srila Prabhupada had his Bhagavad Gita manuscript stolen in New York in 1965, that was his response. Krishna gives and he also takes away. So imagine how much work Srila Prabhupada must have put into translating that Bhagavad Gita. Not a small thing. And yet, when the manuscript was stolen, after all that work, Prabhupada acknowledged Krishna's in control and then wrote the Bhagavad Gita again. It would have been easier the second time around, because he'd already done it the first. So that's the first. Yajna Virjaya. But then Vayase Yajna. Vayase Uddha. Vayase Uddha Te Namaha, but also the one who takes it away. Namaste Yasya Chakraya. He is the deliverer, he's the owner of the chakra. You can see up here we've got a chakra. Four weapons. Lord Vishnu has four weapons. Or four ornaments, I guess you could say, because two of them are not weapons, actually. But the chakra and the club are specifically reserved for the demons. Banging heads and chopping off arms and legs and heads and so forth. Right? Whereas the conch and the lotus are for giving benedictions to the devotees. Even Krishna's clubbing is a benediction. Just as his giving is a benediction and his taking away is also seen as a benediction by the devotees. I'm not in control, I'm not in charge. You know, this is the mood of the devotees, Krishna's in charge. The mood of the demons is, what is it? Ishvara Maham Bhogi. I'm the controller and they enjoy it. But the divine looks at it from a different perspective. Bhakta Ramjan Yatakasam Sava Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna is the proprietor. He's the Ishvara. We've been doing a lot of yogis lately. So, Idam Krishna, Idam Namama. This is for Krishna, it's not for me. So it's a very different mentality. Almost, you know, it's a complete 180 degree turn around the vision of the devotees. And that's been demonstrated here by the demigods. Namaste yashta chakraya. You're the ultimate destroyer of everyone and everything. But in particular here, the asta chakraya means he throws the disc. Namaha suburu bhutaye. Having varieties of transcendental names. Supuru. So, in the second verse, text 32, Yatte Katinam Tishrinam. You control the three destinations, and it's interesting here. Three destinations. What are the three destinations you can remember?
Heavenly planet.
Yeah.
And which four?
Heavenly planets, hellish planets, and earthly planets here. Yeah. Heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation in hell, which means very often animal life. Right? Yet you don't exist in any of those places. Right? You create these three destinations, but you live in another place. Right? A different destination, like Uttar Loka. We appeared after you created the cosmic manifestation. So the demigods were admitting, we really can't understand your transcendental qualities, your transcendental personality. Navarakino visagyasya dhata veditum arhati. How do you tell whether this is on or not? Well, you know when it's off, I suppose. Obviously. But so this is interesting. There are three locations. So Prabhupada says, usually a person offering prayers to the Lord doesn't know what to ask for. Because usually they're aspiring to improve their material condition, and that's done by seeking elevation to the heavenly planets. Hare Krishna, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that the unintelligent are bewildered by the flowering words of the Vedas, wherein one's encouraged to worship the demigods for elevating material life. And so this is whilst it's a it's a benefit, still it's temporary. So you perform sacrifices and yajnas and you're elevated to the heavenly planets, but then what happens? Taken away. In due course, it's taken away. Back to the human form, or back to, from there, in the animal species. So it's a very risky proposition. And so, this is, even though this is elevated, and it is authorized by the Vedic scriptures, the Vedic, you know, the guidelines of the human within the Shastra. And so therefore, in one sense, authorized, right? Because it's given in the Shastra, it's authorized. But it's still considered ignorant. Right? Still considered to be in a state of ignorance. Like the demigods. The demigods are meaning here. We're in a state of ignorance. We were born after you. We've not been able to see your transcendental pastimes. We've not seen you create the material universe. We've not seen your descent, if you like, this is what avatar means. We've not seen your descent from the spiritual world into the material world. So, your activities are impossible for us to understand, right? Narva chino visagasya dhata vetu nahati. Not possible for one who was born after you, or within the creation, basically. Visagasya means the creation. It's not possible for those born under the influence of the material energy to know the transcendental characteristics of the Lord. Na vedetu arhati. Not able to understand. Right. And so that's why that's why one needs a guru, effectively. Why one needs to study the Vedas under the auspices of a bona fide spiritual master, because there's just so much information in the Vedas. It's easy to become bewildered by it. And so then one accepts something which is, one can accept something which appears to be good but is not. Right, you know, worship of the demigods, it's authorized in the Vedic literature. And it appears to be an elevation, certainly from the human species. It's an elevation. And from the animal species, from the hellish planets, it's an elevation. So it appears to be good. Right? Because it's progress, if you like, from being an animal and from being a human being. You can live for many, many thousands of years and enjoy the benefits of the heavenly planets. But according to the Vaishnavas, Prabhupada says here, Vaishnavas have nothing to do with the other planetary systems other than what? The Vaikuntha Lokas. That's where they aspire at. What is it? Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Pada Pasyanti Savayaho Dviva Chakshuru Atatam Jagra Vamsa Samindite. Is that right? Something like that. Do you chant that every morning? Yeah. I learned it a long time ago. And when I put my tilak on, that's one of the prayers in chant before putting on the tilak. But what does it mean? The demigods and the brahmanas, they look to the supreme abode, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Right? Param, Padam, the topmost place of residence. And what's that? Om Tad Vishnu. The place of Lord Vishnu, so that's the Vaikuntha Lokas. Right? They see the inferior nature of the heavenly planets. From the lower position, the heavenly planets look like the, you know, everything. Or certainly the location you aspire to. But the devotees know, because they have a clear understanding of what the purpose of the Vedas is. And they're not bewildered by the flowery language of the Vedas, but rather to the essence, the Vedanta. Right? Vedanta is the conclusion of the Vedas. Vedaishtha Savayaha Mega Vidyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Chaham, Krishna says. Right? So, It's essential that one studies the Vedas under the auspices of somebody who knows the Vedas, who knows the purpose of the Vedas. And of course, the purpose of the Vedas is not to go to the heavenly planets, although we are encouraged in the Vedas to worship the demigods to go to the heavenly planets. But that's why we need a teacher to help us discriminate, to understand what sections of the Vedas should we be focused on. And it's why we study effectively the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the, what is it, Nigama Kapataro Galitam Phalam. It's considered to be the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedic literature, it's the Vedasar, it's the essence of the Vedas. Right? This is why Bhagavatam is so important. So important. And why Prabhupada concentrated on the Bhagavatam? Why the Bhagavatam is the elementary or the fundamental basis of our hearing and chanting in every day. Right? And one of the Panchanga Bhakti, one of the Bhakti processes that gives prema to those who engage in those activities, the five activities of prema bhakti. One of them is hearing the Bhagavatam. So it's fundamentally essential for the devotees, because it's the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra is the essence of the Vedas. The Vedanta, the end of the Vedas, right? And the natural commentary, so we have the Vedanta Sutra is so conceptually, compact, It's also difficult to understand it. And so therefore, and it's interesting, you see, Vyasadeva had compiled all the Vedic literature. Right? And yet, even though he compiled all the Vedic literature, what was he? Ecstatic? No. What was he?
He was tired.
Yeah, he was tired. So he then said to Narada Muni, he was inquiring from Narada Muni, who is his spiritual master, what should he do? Right? This is the duty of a disciple. If the disciple is despondent and doesn't know what to do, then he should inquire. Right? So, and Narada Muni told him, you've compiled all this Vedic literature, but all you've succeeded in doing is confusing people. You confuse yourself. Right? Because there's such a variety of instructions in the Vedas. And you know, for all different types of mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness people. So he advised Vyasadeva to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam so the people would have the essence of instruction, the essence of the Vedas. And so that's mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is our very means of conquest, it's mentioned, right? A year in the Bhagavatam. Nasta praise, bhagavation, vidya, bhagavata, sevaya, etc. Right? Pretty interesting, really. But not approachable by everybody, actually. Approachable only by the devotees. And we see the mood of the devotees here with the demigods. Right? Your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisances. And this is very interesting. With that mood of submission, and that mood of dependence, and that the activity of regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, one actually gets an opportunity to know and to see and to appreciate and understand the Lord. Although, you know, I mentioned this the other day, it was a nice point in this class, these classes that I've been listening to on the dust and all of that, but Kamala Lokshankar mentions that the Lord is not known as such, but rather the pastimes in the Bhagavatam are relished, they're explored, they're absorbed. One absorbs one's consciousness in these activities of the Lord, and in that way relishes the mellows of devotion, of bhakti, rasasa. So, bhakti ras. So, and in that way then one knows or understands the Lord in that mood of dependence, of humility, actually. What it is, it's submission. Supplication, that's right. Supplication. And that's what the demigods are doing here. We were born after you, and after you've performed all of your wonderful activities. And so it's impossible for us to understand you. And so therefore we offer our obeisances to you. then this is very much a mode of a devotee. What is it? Vandanam. This is one of the 9 items of bhakti that's been demonstrated here by the demigods. They're relishing the activities, the pastimes of the Lord by, what is it? Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam. Remembering the Lord, and also here, Vandanam, offering of prayers. In the Nectar Devotions, it's mentioned that any one of the 9 items, or all of them, or a combination of them, can achieve perfection. So that's what we're seeing the demigods doing here. They'll be hearing, they're chanting, they're remembering, and here they're offering prayers. And their mood is one of supplication, of submission, which is the mood of a devotee, and they're recognizing, you know, you're the Lord of all of these 3 destinations, but the real destination is Vaikuntha. That's where we want to go. When one transcends these various planetary systems and enters Vaikuntha Loka, he achieves the ultimate resort of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas have nothing to do with the other planetary systems. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
I've met some people sometimes.
You met some people sometimes?
That think that they can worship anyone and achieve the same goal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why do they think like that?
They're fools. Krishna says they're fools. And earlier on, last verse I spoke on, what was it, something? They're criticized, or their efforts are considered to be like trying to cross the ocean by hanging under the tail of a dog. Mm. If you hang under the tail of a dog, how far are you going to get? You won't even get past, you won't get out of Port Phillip Bay. Yeah. So now, why do they think like that? Why? Because most people are in ignorance, and one of the interesting characteristics of studying the Bhagavatam is that one's appreciation of time, of the vastness of the universe, the enormity of everything, and the presence of the demigods, even, for example, the presence of the planetary controllers, the presence of the demigods, and then the presence of the mamantaras, and you know, just the whole enormity and structure. You know, the structure of the universal affairs, people are just ignorant of it. Mostly their mind is, you know, their consciousness is focused on, you know, suburban Melbourne, right? Maybe Victoria, which they don't know all about. And then the rest of Australia. Right? And then, you know, what's up? What's beyond that? US? Bali? Phuket? What else? Not, you know, it's all pretty much within this global. But that's it. Beyond that, the moon. Or they think about Mars.
That's right.
But you know, when you study the Bhagavad Gita, then you get this vista that's expanded so much broader, and with an appreciation of authorities and powers that are, you know, outside of the accessibility of most people. So when you think about it, as we do, then our perspective on the universal affairs is much, much broader and goes beyond the material into the transcendental world, into the Vaikuntha Loka and the place of Vishnu, from whom all of the other material realms come from. But most people scratch their heads thinking, well, you know, where did we come from? Right? They think we came from monkeys. Right? This is a limit of their consciousness. Right? Advanced monkeys, that's all we are. Right? And there's a reason, you know, there are good reasons for that, actually. You know, I was listening to a lecture by Satyamurti the other day. And he was making a point that within, and evolution has some basis of fact, right? Because he was making the observation that there's a template for all mammals. Interesting point he was making. There's a template. What's the template for mammals? How many?
Four.
Yeah. And what do they have? What goes on in the inside? What is it? Vertebrates. What we have? We have a backbone, right? And he made a point that if you analyze the hands of a horse, which is the two front legs, right? They actually have toes, right? And have a guess how many?
Two.
Close, but there's more. How many do you think?
Three.
Five. They've got five. One of them is prominent. The nail, you know, the nail. It's the hoof is actually the nail of the. But he said this. He made a point that there's, if you analyse it, there are four residual undeveloped toes, if you like, one fingers on a hoof of a horse. Very interesting, right? And so you'll see there's a template for mammals that's fairly consistent, but it's developed differently depending on the nature of the species. Right? So, you know, we see that as evidence, we view that as evidence of there being a planner. Right? There's some structure, there's some order in things. He explained another. There's a couple of theories on evolution, where everything is uniquely created, or as the evidence suggests, that there are templates that have been created, and then they're expanded upon to bring on the species of the humanity. So they're not unique. We're not unique. And you can see that. We see that. That's why evolution as a theory has some, has some compulsion, you know, it's compelling because of that evidence that we see around us. Of course, we see it differently. We see it from the instruction of the Vedas, that there is evidence that it's all been planned. And things are modified, you know, according to requirements. So, you know, the mindset of the transcendentalists or the Vaishnavas is expanded beyond what the average man in the street is exposed to. And we just discuss that as normal. This is normal life for us, right? And then when we put these ideas to the man on the street, he says, what? It's mind-blowing, right? Like I mentioned the other day, when I opened up the Nectar of Devotion at one of my friend's house and I read that Krishna, this big personality of God, he's playing with his friends in the forest of Vrindavan, and they heard him count, so I just, right, so it's ignorance. It's just lack of exposure. Yeah, that's why we have to be merciful. And of course, not blow people away, too, you know, because there's so much far out stuff in the Vedas, we could just blow people's minds. And so when we talk to them, they just go, these Hare Krishna's, you know, whoo! the three stooges. You fool. We can't even do that. We have to introduce things very, very, very gradually and subtly. Otherwise we'll just blow people, you know. So that's why Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but encourage them in acts of devotion, so that gradually we soften their hearts and soften their understanding of things, so that eventually they can get to be like the demigods. Okay, I think we should do. Oh, Mahamandi.
When you were saying about monkey, I was thinking of monkey pox.
Monkey?
A new disease, monkey pox.
Monkey pox.
Like a small pox.
Yes.
It's coming from monkeys into human beings.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Yes.
Yes.
I read an article yesterday and they were saying that, I was speculating, but probably got some truth. They were saying that casual sex at a couple of concerts in southern Europe where somebody had that disease. That's how it's been passed around.
It's from the Australia. One case in Sydney, one in Melbourne.
Two cases.
Was it originally?
Well, it comes from monkeys. So somebody, they're speculating, somebody from, and it's usually in Africa, because that's where the monkeys sit, basically, also in India. But, and so they're thinking, the speculation is, and that's, you know, It's not irrational. Somebody from Africa has with the monkey pox.
So it's like an AIDS that was
in yes. Yes. And so that's the transmission.
Homosexuals.
Huh?
Homosexuals.
No, not necessarily in this case. Because it's within the the community at large. Yeah. So it's not isolated to it's within the heterosexual community. But again, no sense control, and so look at the ramifications. Looks like we're in for a little bit of
well, it's just another feather in the world.
not sure about that, but so
that's
I,
true.
It would encourage me to avoid that association. Keep your mask on. Keep your mask on. Keep clean. Yeah. Frankly, I don't think it's not intended to shut countries down. It's just warning people, be careful.
That's all the agenda.
Yeah. Okay. Congratulations on the Bhagavatam.